So first of all, I want to thank everyone for joining me today. I'll introduce myself in just a second. But before we get started, can you raise your hand if your brewery has fewer than 5 employees? Okay. And now if your brewery has between 5 and 25 employees? All right, a majority there. Does anyone have more than 25 employees? All right, excellent. Now, raise your hand if you are not an HR person by trade, but you're managing HR for your brewery. Great, that's the group I was hoping for. All right, so a little bit about myself. My name is Holly Haslam. I'm going to repeat a little bit of what I said in the main group session, but most of my experience in human resources has been working for small organizations with fewer than 50 employees. And prior to me joining those teams, they didn't formally have an HR person. Or if they did, it was a person that handled finance and payroll that they called HR, but that person didn't want to be HR. Sound familiar to anyone? All right. Prior to going back to school and getting my MBA, I didn't have a lot of formal training in HR because of that. There wasn't anyone to train me. So for those of you that are managing HR in that space, I understand where you're coming from, and I know how challenging it can be to try and tackle HR when you don't have the resources and are probably working with a fairly small budget to do so. My job at the Brewers Association is to help with some of that. As the HR partner, I'll be putting together resources for you that will be easy to access and ready to use. So hopefully that will make your job a little bit easier. We're also going to be developing the Brewers Association's first HR committee. And that committee is going to help guide some of those efforts to help me gauge what's needed most immediately. So if anybody has any interest in participating in that committee, come see me afterwards and we can chat about it. All right, so let's get into this. Let's talk about how we can be dedicated to HR when we don't have a dedicated HR person. What do most people think of when they think of human resources? I know typically when I tell people I work in HR, I get some kind of negative responses to that. Has anyone experienced that? What are some of the maybe negative connotations that you've heard about human resources? Does anyone want to share? Okay, where you go when you're in trouble. Great.
The fun police.
The fun police. I'm sure we've all been referred to as the fun police.
They're to protect the company, not to protect the employees, maybe.
Excellent. You actually led right into my next point. Yes, generally the perception of HR is that we're there to protect the company, and the employees don't always think that we care about them, right? So I want to talk about some of the positive things that HR actually is. All right, so HR is much more than payment and punishment. It's recruiting, screening, hiring, and workforce planning, trying to make sure that you're filling roles so that your workforce is not overworked and overwhelmed and feeling burnout. It's developing positive relationships, not only between employees, but between the company and the employees. It's representing your company. Oftentimes, when we hire new people for our teams, whoever's managing HR is their first point of contact and their first impression of the organization. So that person can play a big role in whether or not someone decides to join the team. It's resolving conflict. Conflict occurs everywhere. But hopefully in HR, we're able to put things in place so that the same conflicts don't keep happening. It's ensuring compliance, because non-compliance can cost your brewery a lot of money. It's negotiating benefits so that those health plans aren't costing too much money to your employees. They need good health benefits without breaking the bank. It's making sure that people get paid on time. They really like to get paid on time. It's improving systems so that things run smoother. It's creating training programs or developing structures so that employees can be trained more thoroughly. It's encouraging and supporting growth of your employees and professional development so that your employees can meet their unique long-term goals. And it's advocating for the employees. And this is an important point and one that I want to elaborate on a bit further. When I first moved to Colorado a few years ago, I applied for an HR position at a large company. And during that interview, I asked the person that was interviewing me, who would have been my direct supervisor, what's a situation that you've encountered recently? And they shared with me that they had a long-term employee that, for whatever reason, needed to relocate to another state and wanted to stay with the company so that they didn't lose their legal status. And for whatever reason, the company didn't want to do that. And I asked this person, in that situation, how did you advocate for that employee? And her response was, that's not my job. My job's not to protect the employees. My job is to do what the company wants. And that was enough to tell me that that was not the right place for me. Because I genuinely believe that in any organization, the employees are the greatest asset that you have. And by serving the employees, HR is serving the company. HR is an important function, regardless of what size your brewery is. And whether you have a dedicated HR person or not, HR is happening in your organization. The question, though, is it happening purposefully? On this topic, a colleague of mine recently stated that you can drive a car without holding on to the steering wheel, but it doesn't usually end well. And a lot of times HR is the same way. It has to be approached with purpose and with an intent in order to do it properly and to take care of your employees and your company. My goal today is to provide you with some tips and resources that you can take home with you and implement immediately. If you haven't already gotten a folder, there's some additional resources that will kind of elaborate on some of the topics today. And also keep in mind that going forward, the BA is going to be releasing even more resources on this topic to help you manage HR more effectively. So let's tackle this together. Since joining the BA, I've been having a lot of conversations with various HR leaders in breweries, and the most common topics that have come up are recruitment and hiring and employee retention. So those are what we're going to focus on today. Since we only have 45 minutes, we can't get into much more depth than that, but more resources will be coming. And as we go through the topics today, and as we continue to release additional resources going forward, I want you to mentally fill two buckets. The first bucket is things that I can manage myself at my brewery. And the other bucket is things that I might need help with. There's nothing wrong with delegating some tasks if you can't take everything on. Sometimes we just don't have the bandwidth or the knowledge to do everything, and there's no harm in reaching out and consulting with someone if you need some help. So we'll start with recruitment and hiring. Where do we find good employees? How do we run a compliant and legal hiring process? And how do we avoid getting ghosted? The first step is to develop a process that works for you, and then administer it consistently. What you'll see here in a minute is a very basic hiring process. You can follow it to the letter if you want. You can modify it. Generally, everyone's process looks a little bit different, but the point is that it should be, it should work for you and for your brewery so that you can actually stay on top of it. First of all, you're going to determine who is needed. What position do you need to fill? What skills do they need to have? When do you need them to start? And then from then, you're going to develop a job description, which generally at this point, you'll want to collaborate with maybe a department manager. If you can pull someone in that has done that specific job, it can be helpful to help have them help you develop that job description. And then you have to figure out how to get it in front of the right people. You'll want to get creative and determine where you might find qualified people. And notice that I didn't say qualified brewers, for example, because there are a lot of other spaces that you can find people that can do the work that may not have brewing experience. Once you've posted your job, hopefully you'll have some candidates to review. At this point in the process, you're going to be looking at resumes and applications. You might do phone screens. You might conduct some interviews. Not everyone uses phone screens, but I would say I do recommend it. It can be really helpful to filter out some of those candidates that might look great on paper, but may not end up being the right fit. Prior to working at the BA, I worked in construction, and I was often recruiting for general and skilled labor positions. And a lot of times, I would hire people, their resumes would look great, or their applications would look great, they would check all the right boxes, and then they would get on the job site and there were issues. And two of the most common issues were that they didn't actually want to travel, despite indicating that they would, and they didn't want to do anything other than run equipment. So by implementing a phone screen, I was able to just have a brief conversation with people, elaborate on what some of our expectations were, and that way I could save time during the interview process. Reference checks are optional. Some people like to use them, some people don't. They were never my favorite thing to do, but they can be beneficial. If you do choose to use them, keep in mind that in addition to verifying work history, you can use this as an opportunity to find out what their learning style is or what motivates them. Somebody that's already worked with them is going to have that information so that if you do hire this person, you can hit the ground running. Keep in mind that at this stage in the process, you should have the candidate's permission to do reference checks. You don't want to accidentally out them to their current employer if they haven't expressed that they're looking into leaving. Additionally, keep in mind that some states might require that this part of the process be done post-offer. So check into your local state and local regulations so that you know that you're doing that in the right spot. Hopefully, all of this effort leads to you extending an offer to a candidate, which will be followed up by completing the necessary paperwork, which, again, can vary by state. And then you can begin onboarding your employee, which is a process that will be unique to your brewery. All right, so let's talk a little bit about those job descriptions. Keep in mind that your job description is very likely your candidate's first impression of your brewery. And while this may not be an exhaustive list, and there might be different requirements based on where you're operating, it'll give you a good start. You might notice as we go along, there's more here than you typically see in other people's job posts, so I want to explain the importance of each of these items. Job title and location. I recommend keeping your job title simple and gender neutral. Gendered job titles can deter some candidates from applying. And if you get too creative with your job title, while it may be reflective of your fun company culture, it can also lead to your job posting not popping up when people search for it. People are, in general, more likely to search brewer than like beer artist, for example. Next up, you will do a summary of the company. And this is an opportunity for you to describe what makes your brewery a great place to work? What makes it unique? How do you make it a respectful and inclusive environment for all of your employees? This will be followed by a summary of the position. This should just be a brief little blip about what the day-to-day in this position will look like, especially if you're recruiting to a broader audience that may not have brewing experience or experience in whatever role you're hiring for. This will give them an idea of what the general day-to-day is going to look like for them. Schedule and shift is particularly important because a lot of breweries, I don't know about all of your breweries, but a lot of breweries that I have been in contact with might have rotating shifts. So candidates might think they're applying for just a daytime shift. If that's not the case, just make sure they know up front. Compensation and benefits. This is a touchy one for some people. And while it's not required in every state to post this in your job posting, I do recommend it. And the reason for that is twofold. First, as a candidate that's ever applied for a job, it's really frustrating when you find a job that you think you really want, but you have no idea if it's going to meet your financial needs. And a lot of times, applying for a job takes a lot of time and energy. So people may not be willing to go through that process if they don't know that they're going to be getting an acceptable wage. The second part is for any of you that are managing the hiring process, you don't want to go through that whole process and spend all of that time and energy if you're not going to be able to agree on a wage at the end. You'll want to include job duties, obviously. However, I would keep the list fairly short. Stick to the things that your candidates have to know that they'll be doing in the job. Don't give them this crazy long laundry list of every task they might possibly encounter at some point, because that becomes very daunting. A lot of times, the longer the list is, the more likely people are to either just skip over it, not read it, still apply the job, or they look at this big to-do list and they're like, I don't know if I can manage all of that. So stick to the things that they have to know. Same goes for knowledge, skills, and abilities. Stick to the must-haves. You don't want to lose part of your candidate pool because they feel like they're not, they don't meet the qualifications to do the job. Keep in mind that women and people of color are more likely to self-select out of jobs if they don't feel that they meet 100% of the requirements. So anything that can be trained on the job, just leave that off. This next section, you may not have seen a lot. It's something that I learned from our Dr. J, our equity and inclusion partner. Yes, you should still apply if. And I wish I had known about this when I was hiring for various positions. Take the top 3 to 5 items in your job description that you think might deter people of a specific demographic from applying and address those in this section. If you've listed that you want someone that has a knowledge of various styles of beer, for example, then list that in this section. Yes, you should still apply if you don't know all of the styles of beer. We can teach you that. And then lastly, how to apply. Let the candidates know the best way to express their interest in the job, whether that's emailing you a resume or applying on your website. But keep in mind that if you are using an online application on your website, a lot of candidates will not apply for a job that they can't apply for on their phone. So check in to make sure your website is actually optimized for mobile use. So you've got a job description. How do you get it in front of the right people? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as of February of this year, there were 0.6 workers for every open position, which means there are more jobs than people right now. So you have to get creative about how you get your job posting out in front of people. First off, use job boards. There are some general job boards, Indeed, LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter. Just keep in mind that when you're using those, you're competing for the same candidates as everyone else in the world. So you're likely going to have to do more than what's called post and pray, where you just post your job and wait for those candidates to come to you. Generally, that's just not how it works anymore. Luckily, a lot of those platforms have a resume search function where you can actually search for people with the qualifications that you're looking for and reach out to them directly. If anyone has questions on how to use those functions, come find me afterwards, and I'm happy to help with that. I do find that that tends to be more cost-effective and just in general more valuable than just posting your job and waiting. Keep in mind there are also industry-specific job boards. If you do insist on finding someone that already has brewing knowledge, or you're trying to find those candidates that are only interested in the brewing industry, use those job boards. There's one on the BA website. Career fairs are another great way to get in front of candidates. And the nice thing about career fairs is they're more personal. Unlike all of the online options for recruiting, you can actually get out in front of your candidates and tell them all of the great things about your brewery and why they should want to work there. Social media is a great resource. Anyone that's already following you on Twitter or Instagram, A, has an interest in the craft beer industry, and B, better yet, has a specific interest in your product. So make it known on your social media sites that you're hiring and that you don't necessarily have to have a brewing background to work there. And then universities and trade schools are another great resource. You could even consider setting up an internship to appeal to those students that are in the fermentation sciences. But again, don't limit yourself just to industry-specific programs. Reach out to students in biology or chemistry. I can guarantee there's a number of students there that have a general interest in the topic but have no idea what they want to do with it yet. I was that student. So you could probably tell them all of the great things that they could do with that information in the brewing industry. All right. How many of you have heard of the term ghosting? Almost everyone? Okay. So ghosting is a social phenomenon that started in dating, but has kind of creeped its way into the hiring process. For anyone that doesn't know, ghosting is when you've made a connection with a candidate and then they just disappear. No indication that they're no longer interested in the job or that they found a different position. A recent survey by BBC found that 28% of people polled had ghosted an employer during the hiring process. And I can tell you from personal experience, because it's happened to me a lot, that it's incredibly frustrating. So I want to provide you with some tips that once you've found that great candidate that you want to hire and maybe you've already offered them a position, how to actually get them in the door of your brewery. First of all, stay in touch. From a candidate's perspective, it's incredibly frustrating when you get a job offer and then communication just fizzles out. My first job out of college was like that. I received an offer from a company, but they didn't have any clients for me yet, which was fine, but no one told me that. So a month later, I'm reaching out to them like, hey, is this a real job? Did I get punked? Should I look for something else? Don't put your candidates in that position, and these days you really can't. You'll lose that candidate. Make sure you're staying in touch with them, you're reiterating all of the great things about your brewery, and you're letting them know what the next steps are. Be clear about your expectations and deadlines. If there's anything that your new hires need to do before they actually get started, make sure they know and they have a clear list. And don't just give them a long list of things to do over the phone. I would follow up with an email. Make sure that they have it in writing, everything that they need to complete before they get started. Make sure you're building excitement about the job. This can start as early as your first interaction with a client or a candidate. Let them know why they should want to work there, the exciting benefits that you offer, how cool your team is. Pump them up before they even get started. And then make that new employee feel welcome. Show them around, give them an orientation training. Make sure that they are starting off their job on the right foot. And on that same note, help them create connections. Introduce your new employee to their teammates, to other departments they might interact with, to their managers. Make sure that they know the people around them so that they don't start off their job feeling like they're on an island. And let them know who they can ask for help. This might be a specific manager. It might be various people depending on what the question is. It might be a peer mentor or a work buddy. Whatever the case is, make sure they know who they can go to if they're not sure what to do. Use positive reinforcement. This is an important one. When your new hire is getting started, make sure you tell them when they're doing things right. Or even before they get started, if they get their pre-employment checklist done quickly, shoot them an email. Say, hey, I appreciate that you got such and such to me so quickly. That's awesome. Keep up the good work. It doesn't cost your brewery anything to provide positive reinforcement, and it does increase the likelihood that those behaviors will keep occurring. And then check in. And this shouldn't just be on their first day or their first week. Check in with your employees and see that they're settling in okay, see if they have any questions. And this is also a great opportunity to get feedback on your onboarding process. See if there's anything that you're missing or anything that would have helped their experience be even better. All right, before we move on to the next section, does anyone have questions on anything we've covered so far? Okay. All right, so you found and hired an awesome new employee. How do you get them to stay? For many, Culture and benefits is just as important, if not more important, than pay. Let's talk about the ways that we can create positive relationships with and among employees. You'll notice that some of these were covered previously when we talked about making a successful hire, but they're important even ongoing after you've made that hire, beyond the employee's first week or first month. Developing connections. Not only between your new hire and the rest of their team, but also between yourself and your employees. You need to have a positive relationship with your employees in order for them to approach you with any questions or concerns that they might have. Show appreciation to your employees. Make sure they know when they're doing things well and that they should keep up the good work. When I was working in construction, I was having a conversation with one of our superintendents one day, and we were talking about how to retain more employees. As you probably guessed, construction also has a crazy high turnover rate. It's a lot of hard work. And I said, well, how do you provide feedback to your employees? And the general answer is, well, if we needed them to do something different or if they're doing something incorrectly, we tell them. I said, okay, but do you tell them when they're doing things well? Do you go up to someone and say, hey, I can see you're working your butt off today. Keep up the great work. We appreciate your contribution. And the response I got was, no, that's just not really how construction works. But when we tried it, it actually made a huge impact on team morale. And it really helped develop that connection between supervisors and employees. Monitor job satisfaction and employee engagement. There's a saying that says happy employees are productive employees. And if you have formerly productive employees that are now maybe putting in the minimum effort or watching the clock constantly or disengaged from their team, that's a sign that something's not going well at work and it should be addressed. The same goes for signs of burnout. I'm not going to get too far into this because there's actually another presentation during the conference on burnout, which I would recommend checking out. But if you're seeing those signs, you need to check in with your employees so that you don't lose them. Create a safe environment. What do we mean when we say safe? There's physical safety, like following procedures so you don't get hurt at work. But there's also psychological safety, making sure that your employees feel safe and respected and included in the workplace. And both are equally important, and it's on us to make sure that both of those things are happening. Resolve conflicts. Conflicts occur in every situation, in every organization, but make sure that you're approaching them in a respectful manner and productive manner so that you can work through those and they don't keep happening. All right, so we'll talk a little bit about training as well. Studies have shown that training and professional development are significantly correlated with job satisfaction. Often, training is a factor in an employee choosing a brewery to work with, and it's a factor in them choosing to stay with a brewery. Not only does it provide a positive work environment, but it also sets your brewery up for success. If you have well-trained employees that know what they're doing and know how to help each other, you're going to be better off. So what types of training can we offer? Orientation training is a great option when you have new people starting to help them feel settled in, and make sure they know how to manage various situations, where to find things. Leadership and managerial training is also key. I know it's common in this industry, as well as various other industries, to promote someone because they have been with the company a long time and they're good at their job. And that's great, but neither of those two things is an indicator that they're going to have the people skills necessary to lead a team to success. And this type of training doesn't have to be a big cost to you. You lean on your internal experts. If you have some really great managers and you're thinking about promoting someone to a management position, pair them together so that they can learn from each other. Safety training, of course, should be happening in all of our breweries. If you haven't checked it out already, there's actually a free safety training course on the BA website. And then TIPS training is recommended for any employees that might be serving alcohol. So how do you approach training? There's a couple of different options. There's internally produced training. You can outsource your training efforts. Internal training takes a little more time and effort, but it tends to be more specialized to your unique brewery needs. If you outsource training, it might be a little more expensive, but it doesn't take the time and expertise to put together. There's also hands-on training. You can train right on the job while they're doing other tasks and teach them as they go. There's some things that you might lean on virtual training for. At the BA, we use WeBow for our sexual harassment training. If anyone has questions about how to create your own either hands-on or virtual training, let me know. I've done it many times with virtually no budget, so I can help you out there. Professional development and advancement opportunities often gets grouped in with training, and they do go hand in hand, but they are different. Professional development offers your employees the opportunity to prepare for an advanced role in the company, whereas training helps them prepare for the job that they're doing currently. But why is it important? Employees want to work for a company that invests in them. And if you invest in your employees, they're more likely to invest in you. It's a lot harder to leave a job if you know that there's opportunities down the road. It keeps your employees engaged and motivated. It's not very fun to stay at a job if you feel like you've already learned everything there is to know and you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Keep them learning things, and that will keep them motivated. Help them develop skills based on their interests and their strengths. You might have someone working in the brewery that may have the skills or the desire to work on the cellar side. Create some cross-training opportunities to engage those employees. And of course, it makes the employees more valuable to the team. If you train them well on a lot of things, then no matter the situation, you have people that can handle it. All right, to wrap things up, we're going to talk about the importance of exit interviews. And this may seem silly since exit interviews are done as a candidate's already on their way out, but it can have a big impact on employee retention. Exit interviews will give you insight on a lot of things if you use them properly. They'll tell you what is and isn't working. Maybe your employee really loves their team, but they don't feel like they're getting the training and support they need from their managers. It tells you what employees value most. Maybe that's flexibility or pay or benefits or whatever the case may be. It's good to know where your employees stand. It gives you insight on how to improve your culture and reduce turnover going forward. It can give you insight on management issues. Unfortunately, a majority of employees won't bring management issues to you until they're already on their way out the door. And then compensation and benefits. You might not have the resources to change what your compensation and benefits are, or you may not have the authority to do so, but it is good to gauge how competitive you are in the industry. I want to take a moment to suggest that when conducting exit interviews, you don't have the person's direct manager do that interview. If you want the most honest feedback, have someone neutral do it. And if you don't have a neutral party that can do that, consider having a form that employees can fill out. Previously, I had offered employees anywhere from having a, face-to-face conversation to a phone call to just sending them the questions I would have asked them, and they can fill those out at home. Whatever your employee is more comfortable with is where you're going to get the most valuable feedback. I also want to note that an exit interview is not an opportunity for you to convince the employee that they're wrong for leaving or that whatever is concerning them is inaccurate. Exit interviews should come from a place of curiosity and a genuine interest in improving. And if that's not where you're coming from, then you should just skip the exit interviews. Before we leave today, I want to leave you with a few additional resources. First of all, the Intro to HR Toolkit are the folders that you've already picked up. If you don't have one, there's a stack here on the front table. Feel free to grab one on your way out. They just kind of elaborate on some of the topics that we covered today. Next is the Society for Human Resources Management, or SHRM. SHRM is a great resource. They have a lot of templates. They have articles on various situations. I lean on them all the time. Also, look into your local SHRM chapters. They're all over the country. When I first moved to Colorado, I joined the Boulder Area HR Association, and I can't tell you how valuable the people in that group have been whenever I've had a question or a scenario that I didn't know how to handle. Additionally, by joining my local SHRM chapter and volunteering a little bit, I actually got my SHRM membership for free, so that might be an option if you're working with a tight budget. The Craft Beer HR Group is another excellent resource. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to complete a survey, and there's a section to put in your email address if you're interested in having this group reach out to you. And then, of course, the Brewers Association. As I mentioned, going forward, we're going to be putting out a lot of resources to help you navigate HR. And in addition, we'll be building an HR committee that can help guide those interests a bit and make sure that we're actually putting resources in front of you that you need right now. Again, if anyone is interested in participating in that committee, let me know. I'd be happy to chat with you about it. So, as I mentioned, I have a quick survey. If you can scan this QR code with your phone, this is not the general CBC feedback survey. This is just to help me gauge what resources and topics that you need covered most immediately. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. HR is such an important function in every brewery, and I really want to commend you for taking the time and effort to be here and to learn something new with me. I'm really excited to work with all of you to continue to develop resources for small and independent breweries. Thank you. Before I hop off the stage here, does anyone have a question? Yeah.
I kind of wanted to pick your brain more about checking references.
Okay.
I've had issues in the past when I've done reference checks where it's not necessarily the people they work with anymore. They're easy to lie to the reference check that I found.
Yes.
Are there ways that you can go about making sure that they are legitimate references when you might not have a candidate?
That's a great question. So how do we make sure that our references are valuable references that are actually from either a current or previous employer, is what you're asking? So this is my problem with reference checks. It's kind of a love-hate relationship because, of course, people are going to list references of people that they know will say good things about them, right? Or generally that's the case. Previously, when I have had applications for candidates to fill out, I specify, please just list your current or most recent employer, and then your previous two beyond that. I also give them an opportunity to list references that might be coworkers or friends, whatever the case may be, but I also, in a separate section, specify, I want your current or previous supervisor, and then the last two beyond that. Beyond that, it's really up to the candidate to be honest with you. Generally, you'll find that out when you do the reference check. Back here.
What are some of the most important questions you can ask in an interview to find out if that person is going to be a good fit?
That's a great question. What questions do we ask in an interview to help determine if they're a good fit? That's really going to be very specific to your brewery. In my experience, it's helpful to determine the key traits that are most important to your organization. So previously when I worked in construction, the company was all about just being honest. It didn't really matter if you had a lot of previous experience in construction. We could train you on that. But we wanted candidates that would communicate honestly with us. So I would just try to frame questions around that. I would ask them if they've ever been in a situation where their integrity was questioned, for example, and see if they could come up with a scenario where maybe it was a misunderstanding, but regardless, if they were honest about that scenario, then that indicated to me that they were willing to be honest about other things. Go ahead. That's a great question. So would I recommend exit interviews if someone's just changing positions in the company? Generally, no. I would say reserve your exit interviews for when someone is leaving the company, because that generally indicates that there's something going on that you may not know about. If they're changing positions in your company, that should say to you that they probably like your company culture overall, and they're just interested in learning something new. I also want to make a note that at any time, it doesn't have to be a formal exit interview. You can always just have a conversation with your employees about feedback, if they have questions, if they have any concerns, and just check in with them. Go ahead. So personally, I like using, you know, performance reviews to check in, and whether that's yearly or every 6 months or whatever the case may be, just checking in to have those conversations and let the employee know where they stand. Like, but again, there has to be positive feedback along with that. It's not, hey, I'm going to give you a list of things you've done wrong this year. It's, here are the things that are going really well. Let's set some goals going forward. But as far as how often that happens, I think that's really what works for your team. In construction, getting people to sit down for a yearly review was about all I could get out of them. Some people like more constant feedback. And what I would even recommend is maybe having your employees fill out a survey and say, hey, I want more consistent feedback, or I want my feedback once a year, and maybe tailor it to the specific employees if you have the capacity to do that. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Yeah, you had in this description of the job duties, you talked about what not to include, which are things that may be taught later on. Does that ever come back to me and ask when people say, well, that's not what's in my job description that I signed up for?
You know, I haven't had that specific experience. I suppose that it could happen. The job description that I listed on the screen is for your job posting. If that's something that you are concerned about, you can always have a more descriptive paper of the job that that employees can read when they get started, so they know all of the expectations. But for the purposes of advertising your job and getting candidates to apply, I would just keep it condensed so that you don't lose their attention. Yeah. That's a great question. Okay, that's a great question, and honestly not one that I hear from a lot of managers specifically. There are lots of templates that you can use, but I would say, you know, maybe send out an anonymous survey to your employees. If you want really honest feedback, keep it anonymous. Nobody's going to say, well, this bothers me about my manager, if you're going to see their name, right? So keep it anonymous, and also keep it kind of short. You know, focus on the things that you're really concerned about, and then leave an open-ended question. Is there anything else we should know, or things that we should improve on? Anyone else? All right, I think we're out of time anyway. I'll be around all the way to Thursday, so if anybody has any questions, just come up and chat with me, and I'm happy to go over any of these things. Thank you, everybody.